Nick Lowe burst on the music scene in the early 1970s. He pioneered the indie rock label and ushered in British punk and new wave. It's been 6 years since Nick Lowe's last album, The Convincer. That recording had the unfortunate release date of September 11, 2001. Nick's songs have been covered by everyone from Solomon Burke to Johnny Cash to Elvis Costello. What's so funny about this woman understanding? Nick Lowe's new recording is called At My Age, and he joins us from our New York bureau. Welcome to the program. A pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, Leanne. Thank you for having me on.
The recording is called At My Age, which sort of implies in the title that you might be looking back at some of the things in your life, and even the lyrics to Long-Limbed Girl.
The other day, I was going through some old papers in my desk, when I came upon a photograph, and I had to catch my breath.
Sounds like you're thinking about someone you once knew, obviously.
Well, I just make it up. I'm a pop songwriter, and I just, a character comes to mind, and I'll just make it up.
And she had her arms round me, long. And if you made it through and had all your dreams come true now, or has it been a long and bumpy road, long-limbed girl?
However, I do know what I'm singing about. I know what it feels like to be blue and extremely fed up, and also to be in love and to feel fantastic, but it's not necessarily me that's talking. So for instance, there's a song on the record called I Trained Her to Love Me.
This one's almost done, now to watch her fall apart. I trained her to love me so I can go ahead and break her heart.
Kind of nasty character talking, and of course I'm just not a nasty character. But I know plenty of them.
If you think that it's depraved and I should be ashamed, so what? I'm only paying back womankind for all the grief I got.
I have to admit, when I heard that song, I Trained Her to Love Me, I thought, what a misogynist you... I mean, you know, what? Someone's going to pick this up and think it's for real.
Yes, it was the last tour of the United States I did. It was about 2 years ago, and I'd just written the song. And I thought I'd just put it in the act and see how it went over. Normally, when you do a new song, people will give it a nice clap, you know, but they're not... They don't really get it. They like to have heard it on record a few times, and then they'll be enthusiastic when they hear it. But I thought I'd just stick it in. And this song got an immediate reaction, and it was funny how they were split. In the main, most women got it. They knew what I was doing, and so did some of the men. But there was a large part of the male part of the audience who were sort of saying, yeah, Nick, way to go, man, you know, as if I was really striking a blow, you know, from a men's live. You know, at last the story can be told.
Well, one time one cut up rough and told me I only do this 'cause I can. And I'm bound to wind up one lonely, twisted old man. But look out, here comes a prime contender for my agenda, if ever there was one. And I'm gonna train her to love me until it's time to do what must be done. Train.
Luckily, you have another song called People Change, right?
Yes, yes.
People change, people change, people change, people change.
How'd you get Chrissie Hynde to appear on this? Longtime friend?
Yes, she's been a friend of mine since sort of the early 70s, really, when she first came to London. When I came to do People Change, we'd had two or three goes at it, and I just couldn't make it work. It sounded just too much like a jingle or something, the toothpaste. So I thought, well, I'll take it round to Chrissy and see what she thinks. And she was typically forthright about it. And she said, you should do it like this and like that, like that. And what's more, I'll come in and sing the chorus to make sure you don't mess it up.
Prepare yourself for it. I'll get beat. People change.
Feel Again is one that, I mean, I know you don't like the word retro, but there is something retro about this. I think you even described it a bit like a Dean Martin country record.
Yes, I suppose it is, yes.
All the times I can't be with you, and you get tired of being left alone. And your mind needs reassuring that for me, you're still the only one.
I loved Dean Martin when he was doing his country thing, and we put that rather croony tenor sax on the track just to make it sound a little more loungy.
So if you ever get the feeling I don't love you, feel again. Darling, all you have to do, feel the love I have for you, is touch me,
touch me.
But you can't help but know there's a world of love that's burning deep within.
There's nothing really wrong about retro, you know, it's just when you try and copy something that happened years ago, I don't see what the point of that is, you know, you might as well go and buy the real thing. But my influences are all old-fashioned, really, and it's just the way you put them together, you know, you put a little bit of this here and a little bit of that. It's like sampling, except you're making it up yourself rather than stealing it off the record.
You're in your late 50s now?
I am, yes, 58, yes. Mm.
Can I take you back to your past a little bit? Because your song, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding, it sort of followed you throughout your career. What were the circumstances of writing that song?
I mean, I always think of that song as probably the first original idea I had as a songwriter. I was quite shocked when the title occurred to me. It's a great title. And the original idea was to have, because the times were changing a bit at that time, it was the early 70s, I think 1972 or something when I wrote it. And I sort of wrote it as an old hippie, really, talking to the talking to the future, saying, you know, well, you know, you might think that we're a waste of time now, but what is so funny about peace, love, and understanding, man?
Yeah. And to have someone else better known for your song, does that bother you?
No, on the contrary, no, I'm delighted, because I think that the song would have just withered on the vine, you know, if it hadn't been for Elvis Costello, who cut the song and gave it the sort of anthemic quality, you know, which people seem to respond to.
It was in the movie The Bodyguard.
Yes, it was. It was a very fantastic payday, actually, when that was used. And Curtis Stigers, the artist who recorded it, he and I have quite understandably become very good friends since then.
And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I want to know. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Oh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
Did that financial windfall sort of give you a sense of freedom that you could now essentially do what you wanted?
Yes, it did, really, because I really make my living through other people doing my songs, and there's nothing that an artist or a producer or an A&R person on the lookout for songs likes better than hearing an underdone song, you know, a song that they can go, here comes that Nick Lowe again, he's done it again, you know, he's got a really good song and he's done it all wrong. You know, I can do it much better than that, you know, because it's undercooked, you know, And then, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the line goes taut, the rod bends, and hey presto, I'm pulling a fish out of the harbour, you know, because someone has gone ahead and cut my song.
Hmm. Well, you've just become a new father 2 years ago. You have a 2-year-old now, right?
Yes, I do, yes.
So this is a new beginning.
Yes, it certainly is, yes. He's a wonderful boy, but an absolute nuisance, you know, there's no doubt about it. And especially to someone like myself, who has led an almost entirely selfish existence for the last sort of 40 years, it's come as quite a shock to actually have to worry about him and indeed his dear mama. But I'm very, very delighted with it. It's fantastic.
You're a musician a lot of young performers look up to. Are you listening to any young artists right now? I mean, a specific artist?
Well, I'm afraid to say that I'm not, no. Because I listen almost exclusively to stuff that seems to have been recorded before sort of 1975. And when about 1975, that's really when I think it all finished. People think there's always something new coming around the corner. Well, there ain't, as far as I'm concerned. It's all been done and done way better. But people talk to me about, because of my involvement in punk rock, for instance, that I and the other people who were working in that area at the time sort of engineered, we sort of had this plan to sweep away the old and usher in this brave new world. And in fact, the opposite is true. I actually thought it was all over. I really thought that what we were doing was dancing around the corpse, you know, of pop music, giving it a good kick, and we'd all be back in the biscuit factory come the end of the month. And in fact, not a bit of it. I've had quite a lucrative career since 1975, but I'm very aware that there's a certain sort of handmade quality about my records, which will probably ensure that I'll never be a household name. You know, I'll never get mass acceptance. And that's too bad, you know, it is too bad. I'm not going to change.
Nick Lowe's new disc, At My Age, is available on Yep Rock Records, and he joined us from our New York bureau. Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Storybook love, made for one another. Now she treats you just like a brother. And you don't know what you've done. Even how to make it right. People change, that's the long and short of it. Prepare yourself for it, or get big. People change.
To hear an in-studio performance by Nick Lowe, go to npr.org.